Episode 193 von Winter Day, Hockey, O'Clock, Janat Erdley, Stürmer, Hydrofehervar, AV19.
Is this the best Hungarian core Hydrofehervar AV19 has ever had in its history?
Yes, I think so. And I strongly believe that because if you look at the national team rosters, I would say we had 12 to 14 guys participating in the World Championship last couple of seasons from the team, from the club. So that gives us a lot of help. And then also these guys like myself, I'm a 96, Stipschitz is a 97, and Shanduk is a 94. So all those guys, like, we are in the perfect age where we can develop and we can achieve, and this is one of the main reasons I think we were doing good. And also István Bartalis or János Hárián, they're a little bit older, but they are in perfect form and then perfect age to get successful.
Win today, hockey over.
I can't believe it took 193 episodes to finally have him on Winter Day Hockey O'Clock, but it's happening. We've already had like a chat worth of 15 minutes. It's been too long to I finally had the chance to really catch up. I've been looking forward to this moment, to this conversation for a very long time. It's happening. It's league-leading Fehervar forwards, Janat Erdley. And Janat, so grateful that you're jumping onto the show. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having me. I know it's a long time, but finally it's happening.
Yeah, we tried to do this a couple of weeks ago, but just couldn't make it happen. Now there's the unfortunate circumstance that you're injured. You told me now you got a lot of time at your hand, and of course a lot of people are wondering why can't you play at the moment. You already said it's an upper body injury. We're not going to dive into it more, but how's it been to be on the shelf while the rest of the team has been rolling?
I mean, it's always tough to be injured and see the guys from the outside. But I'm actually pretty bored at home right now. I just started going back to the ring, so it's nice to join the guys again and just to see how they do. And it's amazing how they keep on rolling. And it's been a really good season so far for us.
Now, the injury happened in the Graz game. Maybe if someone watched the highlights, one can tell where it might have happened. Did you immediately know that something was wrong, or with the adrenaline flowing and everything that goes into a hockey game, did you try to make it work? How exactly did it unfold?
Well, for me, I was fortunate enough not having too many serious injuries. And just right away after the collision, I knew something was wrong, and I told the medical staff right away. I stayed into the bench, and I told the medical staff right away that I can't continue. I have to get checked out. So after, like, it was in the first shift. So after that, we went to the hospital, and from that moment, yeah, I was out, and I knew it would take a couple of weeks at least. So yeah, but like you mentioned, sometimes you don't recognize if it's a small injury, it's the adrenaline that's in you. Sometimes some players keep playing with the injury. So, but at this time I couldn't, so I had to skate off right away.
Now, dealing with injury is always an interesting proposition in hockey, because there are so many different injuries that could hit you so many different ways. And yours happened indeed at a very unfortunate moment, because the team's doing so well. You individually have been doing so well. And then there's injury. And granted, we're recording this in mid-December. It's probably better to have that injury right now than it would be to suffer that in mid-March when it gets right into the deep playoff time. How did you cope with the fact that you would have to sit out a couple of games? We don't know yet how long, and obviously we're not giving away that information, but you've already missed a couple of games. You might still miss a couple more. How have you dealt with the fact that you just can't go right now?
Like I said, it's tough because I haven't missed so many games in my career. And I think for hockey players, it's more the mental part that comes in after, of course, a week or two, the pain goes away. But when you start the rehab or you go in to see the physio, it's all the mental part that you're missing the road trip, you're missing the day-to-day meetings. I think that's the most painful part for a hockey player, and obviously that not being part of any wins, that gives you a big motivation when you come back. That when is it gonna happen? But also you don't want to rush it, so you're not getting injured again. But yeah, I think it's the mental part that's the toughest.
It's indeed a fine line that you have to walk, and I'll put this on the record. We've known each other for a couple of years now, and I've always been adamant about it. I've watched Fehava play, I've seen him in person 3 times last year, and every time I saw him, I was like, well, this team would have been even more fun, or would be even more fun with you playing on it. You spent the year in Denmark, were highly successful there too. But during your championship run or during your finals run a couple of years ago, during many playoffs run that you enjoyed with the team, I always kept an eye out for you and what you did and how you played the game. And it's always impressed me. And again, one of my favorite players in the Winter Day Ice Hockey League. But if someone had never seen Chana Derde play hockey, how would you describe your style?
It's a tough question. I don't know. It depends on what phases are you watching. Obviously, when I got into the league, 14, 15, I think I got the full season. And at that point, obviously, you're a young guy. You try to find a spot and you play in the fourth line and try to do that to make an easy place and simple place. And then slowly but surely, you find a way to climb up on the ladder and then play more, and then it comes with more success individually also. So I would say I'm not a really skilled guy. Like I can't make moves like Janos Hari or István Bartalis. I'm more of a shooter. I like to shoot the puck a lot. And that's one of my advantages, I would say. And skating, and I've been skating. Usually, if a forecheck comes, I'm usually the first guy to forecheck.
And you've never been afraid to be in front of the goal, to go to the dirty areas where a lot of work has to be done. How insane do you have to be to wanna stand in front of the goal, to wanna deflect and block shots, to wanna take away the goalie's eyes by taking into account that you'll get hit a lot of times?
Well, yeah, it's really, I mean, you need to get used to it. But what really helps at the beginning, obviously, when you get in as a young guy, you like get in front of the net and you see all these big D's giving a slap shot and it's your knees and you have to deflect it. It's tough, but you can actually get used to it. And if you practice it, we practice it, I think, every single day after practice, just a couple of shots, how to do that. But you can get used to it. And the harder part is when there is an opponent on the ice also, and once your head all the time you're in front of the goalie, well, that makes it a little harder. And that's where all the heat comes in front of the net. If you accidentally jump on the goalie or they push you, and that's where all the trouble starts. But honestly, I'm enjoying that. That's the fun part.
It is indeed fun watching you play hockey. And full disclosure, again, two of my favorite players are indeed playing on Hydrofeavar AV19. You being one of it, the other one being István Terpoch. I last year talked to a good friend of mine, and I said, just watching him play is like having a brick of dynamite in your hand and just throwing it into an empty building. You don't know what's going to happen, but you damn know, or you for sure know that it's going to be fun. And that's how I always kind of enjoyed watching you, watching István Terboc, and specifically talking about you. You've been spectacular this year. You played in 20 games. You had 18 points. You're on your way to breaking career bests in points per games and everything like that. Why have things clicked so well for you?
Well, first of all, before I answer this question, it's funny you brought that up, István Terboc, because and this is what I always say to him before games, that you're my favorite player. Like, legit, that's what I say to him every single day or every single game. And I agree. And also that if you look at his hockey pants, his pants looks like how Rafael Rotter was using his pants. So that's a funny point we chat about. But yeah, back to your question. I think it's all in all, like, the teams got so much better during the summer, and then our team core is one of the best, if not the best, in Feyenoord's history. And that also gives the opportunity to the forwards to have more offense. So I think that's been a huge part of the team and my success. And then obviously, like, and hockey players know that, like, sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. In my situation this season, it just, we had a really, like, I wouldn't say bad start, because it was the CHL and then we played all these big teams. But, you know, when playing those CHL teams and then not gaining any point as a team, it doesn't give you that much confidence. So we had to dig deep and find the confidence in the league, in the ICHL. And it clicked right away, like game one or game two, at least for me. So I was just going with the flow, and then, honestly, I wasn't even looking up stats or how did I, or is this my best start yet? But yeah, obviously I felt good about it, and then having the team success was always a priority for me and for us also, and then just to have that deep core and forward core depth, it helps us a lot, and obviously I'm enjoying the. I enjoyed working with David Kish also. He's been my assistant coach in the league and in the national team also. So I'm happy for that. And also Tyler Dietrich used to be our coach when it was the Abyssal, the U20 league. So I knew him for a while too. And Sammy, our goalie coach too. So yeah, it's been fun.
Just as if you would have had a sneak peek at some of my notes that I jotted down before doing this podcast, because those are two people I'm eventually going to talk to you about. But let's just stick with Feyenoord in the Champions Hockey League. Obviously, not too much enjoyment in that experience as regards the results, but how much motivation did you take out of the Champions Hockey League campaign that didn't go your way necessarily to do better in the league?
Well, it gave us the opportunity to prepare our diesel, because you know, playing against teams like Pardubice and Firestad, all those teams, like, actually all the teams that we played is tremendously good, and yeah, sometimes we spent a little bit too much time in our diesel, so that helped us prepare us for the league. And honestly, the motivation was like, it's actually a good comp. Like, a CHL has been really good for the organization to have the city of Feyenoord. So it brought us a lot of fans during those home games and also away games. So that was the motivation to try to keep those fans in for the ICHL league games. And I think it's been really good. The attendance level, as you can see on the stats in the league side, we've been doing much better than we did at the old rank.
The interesting part isn't that really struck me, because I was following Feyenoord fairly closely, and then I had a game by game look at your results, And what immediately struck me is something that happened a while back in the Winterday Ice Hockey League. When Rob Dahlm got to Linz in 2011, he took him on his magic carpet ride. And for whatever reason, this mantra came about that they intended to never lose two in a row. Fast forward to Hydrofeva AV19 of this year, and with now almost half of the league games in the regular season under your belts, you never lost two in a row. You're winners of four in a row. It's five of your last six. You already had an 8-game winning streak. And again, never two losses in a row. What's the secret to success been?
we were actually going for, when we had the 8-game winning streak, we were going for the franchise record, which is 9. And obviously, like, when you start the season, you don't know what you're gonna get. And then we had our schedule was like this, and it has been like this for the last couple of years, that we start with the road trip to go Italy and then play two of the three teams. Beginning of the season, I remember it was back and forth, one win, one loss. And then we had a meeting about it, that if we want to do good and we want to finish at the top of the league, we have to start having winning streaks, because if you don't do that, obviously you're gonna struggle. And then I think I can't remember which game it was, but there was one game I remember that everything went our way, and then we scored a lot of goals, and then obviously the confidence went up, and that was just the start of it. So after that, and also from the coaching staff standpoint, they giving us really high standards, and I think it's good for the club that we have that, and that also happens that we have older veteran Hungarians, and that have a Hungarian core. And I always thought it's really important to for the imports also, to it's easier to fit in once you have, like, I would say 12 to 14 guys that has been in the team or has been in the league for a long time. It's always easier to fit in, and the Hungarian core is doing a good job about that too.
With you returning, and I want to get to your return specifically with Balázs Cserbök now being a part of Fehervar, with the excellence of Bence Stipčić, with Dominik Horvat even in goal. There's Hungarian talent on every level of the roster, on every position. Is this the best Hungarian core Hydrofehervar AV19 has ever had in its history?
Yes, I think so. I strongly believe that, because if you look at the national team rosters, I would say we had 12 to 14 guys participating in the World Championship last couple of seasons from the team, from the club. So that gives us a lot of help. And then also these guys, like myself, I'm a 96, Stipčić is a 97, and Cserbök is a 94. So all those guys, like, we are in the perfect age where we can develop and we can achieve. And this is one of the main reasons I think we were doing good. And also István Bartalis or János Harjám, they're a little bit older, but they are in perfect form and then perfect age to get successful.
Yeah, how disrespectful is it of me that I haven't even mentioned the name of János Hari yet, who is, of course, again, the top scorer, who's leading the way, who's one of the key figures in Fehava franchise history, who just signed another long-term contract this off-season. When things like that happen, when franchise players are indeed rewarded with contracts that make them franchise players, what's the ripple effect within the organization? How do you look at something like that?
I think it just shows that there is a mutual trust between the player and the club, and you can see that in those if you look at the last 10 years of rosters of Fehervar, we didn't really let a lot of Hungarians go. We tried to, and the organization tried to keep them and try to develop them, even if they're younger. And yeah, obviously Janos is one of the best player in the league, and obviously in our team. And then he's day in, day out, he's doing his job and has a huge part of our success in the last couple of years. And just to have that in mind, that you can even in Europe and in the ICHL, like how much the ICHL developed last couple of years. Like 10 years ago, you couldn't even imagine having a 5-year or 6-year contracts or something like that. So I think in the financial standpoint, it just shows how the league got so much better. And obviously it gives a little bit of security for the players. So all in all, it's a really good situation to have here in Feyenoord and also in the league, because I know in the league there are some teams that are able to sign these longer contracts.
And I'm really glad that Janos Haga is doing well. He was my preseason pick to be most valuable player in the league, and is right on pace and right in that conversation. Granted, there's still a lot of hockey to be played, but it doesn't look too bad. But that's the blind guy finding something, you know, just making enough predictions that one of them eventually is gonna hit. That's been my career so far. You returned to Feyenoord this year after a year in Denmark, and we're gonna talk about you being part of the Esbjerg Energy in a bit. But how was it to return to your old stomping grounds after a full year away?
Well, I was telling my wife that we only went away for 1 year, and then we come back to a completely new arena. We actually moved this summer, so we live somewhere else than we did before, and then so everything is changed in one season. And it's honestly, it felt like I was coming to a new club, but with the same faces. So it was refreshing.
But how was it to move from the old Gabor Okçay Arena to the new Alba Arena? How did that transitional process go for you?
Well, it's really like, I know all the staff members and all the people who work for the club, they did a tremendous job to work just to move us over, and all the equipments and all the things that you, as a player, you don't even think about how you transfer the Zamboni. Are you bringing it on the streets, or are you taking a trailer? Like, you know, like all those kind of things. So, it's been a tough and quick summer. Let's just say that. But obviously, the atmosphere of the old rink, it's not really replaceable, or if it is, it has to be a couple of years until the fans are settled in. Like, imagine you're going to Feyenoord games for 25 years, and all of a sudden you have a spot in the old rink, and all of a sudden you have to change a new spot. Like, for fans, it's really tough. But the city of Feyenoord and also the club were trying to manage that perfectly, that even like we have places where the drums goes and where the super fan faction section will be. So all these, obviously it takes time, but it helps that we are doing good actually, because it seeks people in, and then people from Budapest even come to our games. So I think we're averaging 3,300 or something like that. So I think that's really good. But yeah, it was a tough situation to move during the summer. And honestly, yes, of course you've been in the old rink when we played the finals. That's amazing atmosphere. Like, you're not gonna get another European rink where the fans are so close to the players and so impulsive and so into the game. But at some point, if the organization wants to thrive, that has to come with changes. And then we are so lucky, that we get this rink, and then we can make some changes too.
I've talked to people who had the chance to go to the new Alba Arena already. They really enjoyed the experience. Then again, myself being at the, and only having had the chance to be in at the old rink, I brought a decibel meter with me to the finals a couple of years ago, and I just couldn't believe how loud, how insanely loud this place was. And I really hope and fingers crossed here that a couple more fans will check out ABBA Arena and we'll try to make it as hostile as an environment as possible for the opposing teams. And we still got a couple of months until playoff time. It looks as if you're very likely going to be part of that that playoff mix. And who knows what happens if the ABBA Arena is at full capacity. But how long did it take for you to finally feel comfortable in a new arena? All arena, you know, where everything is, all the places, your locker, all the people, the offices and everything. How long did that take in the new arena?
Well, it didn't take much time, I would say. First of all, the quality of the ice. Maybe some fans don't see that, but as us players, we can feel it right away if the quality of the ice is bad. And then, especially at the beginning of the season, the old rink size wasn't the best. I'm being raised right now. So that was a huge change, but it's always easier to adapt something better. And also I could say the wall, the boards on the rink, it's not glass, it's plastic, so it helps us with maybe like shoulder injuries, or it just a better feeling to play on those ice.
It's state of the art.
Yes, and I think the locker room is amazing also. Like I know it's tough because we're on level minus one, so we don't really see the daylight during the where we're on the locker room or the sun, but I think they made it as comfortable as it can be. And like I said, obviously it's gonna be mistakes, or sometimes you try to find how to put the lightnings on for the ice, because sometimes they don't turn it off on right away. But those are the mistakes that you have to correct during these years, and I think it's gonna get easier if we keep performing like that, because the fans are gonna tolerate more, and then obviously the management or the coaches. So I think it all comes down, if you're successful in the new building, it's easier to fit in and settle in.
The great thing about you, you're not only exciting to watch, you're also a smart player, and you're constantly feeding me talking points that I want to get into. And the quality of ice, if you talk to players, like for outside fans and people who loosely follow the league, it's hockey that happens on ice. But there are tons of different ices, for the lack of a better word, different qualities. And I vividly remember last year talking to a player who hated the ice in a certain arena. I said, it's so soft. It makes you waste so much energy on things that you normally don't have to worry about. Where does the ice in the new ABBA Arena, or how does it compare to other surfaces in other league places? Where's the best ice to be found?
I think the best ice is in Salzburg. But Klagenfurt, since they had the renovation, I think they have a really good ice too. And we're getting there. We're top five, I would say, top six in terms of ice sheets. It also depends on, like, not just the ice sheets, but the boards, like how far are they from each other. There was, for example, this CHL game we played against Sparta Prague. And then they had the NHL size rink for the game, because they had the NHL Global Series game after us. So it was so weird that we played on that small ice sheet. But honestly, I prefer the bigger ice sheet, and that's what we have. So these are the things that mostly fans don't recognize, but this is a huge part of hockey also. And that just shows how also the league is getting better, that we don't have bad facilities. We only have like good facilities. And then obviously there are some rinks that the ice is better, but I I don't think there is anywhere as close as it was at the old arena, like around September or October, you know, when it was like leaking and then water coming from the ceiling.
It was definitely an adventure. I talked to a lot of people who not always enjoyed the Fehervar experience. I very much did so. And the fans were a huge part of that. And just the goal song that they play and sing after each and every Fehervar goal. And just a couple of years ago, I saw a game, an away game from Fehervar, close to my home. And a couple of fans still sung the song even though the arena was dead silent because the away team had just scored. So there's so many passionate fans and it's a tremendous core group, and obviously the fan base is still grow and has room to grow in the new arena. How's the atmosphere been for you on the ice comparing the atmosphere in the old arena to the atmosphere in the new one?
Well, like I said, it's the fans are not as close to you as it was before. So obviously you can't hear that much, but honestly, like from the beginning of the season and right now, there is a big difference and you can feel it already. How, like, if you take a look at our highlights, or if you take a look at the games and live, you can see that the fans, the drums are behind the away team net. So, and then slowly but surely, a lot of more and more fans goes in there because you can't sit there; you have to stand there. And some people get used to standing for the whole game for I don't know how many years. They just got used to it, and then slowly those core is getting bigger and bigger. So that two section is huge for us, the fan section, but obviously for having this many seats and then families are able to bring out kids during an afternoon game. That's also a huge part that it helps hockey. So, and the Jumbotron and all those like things that you can see even in Austria, Germany or North America, like the entertainment part it can be a bigger role for the club.
It is, again, a state-of-the-art arena, and it's got all the conveniences that people obviously are looking for in modern-day hockey. Still, there's a charm to old arenas and old barns, so I'll definitely miss the old arena. Still very much looking forward to eventually getting to the new one. When you returned, was there a moment, was there maybe a game, a sequence where you thought, now I'm back in Fehervar?
Well, it wasn't even a game. It was the first meeting we had in this season. And I look in around and I see all these faces that I know from the national team or from Fehervar. And then just to see that in and then see that moment that, okay, I see my childhood friends, my good friends from the national team, guys I've been playing with forever. That's when I knew I'm back and I'm in a good locker room.
And it's a great thing to have you back in the league. But how come did you went to Denmark? What was the thought process when you headed into that adventure?
Well, first of all, I was 8 seasons, I think, straight with Fehervar, and then we had the final year when we played Salzburg in the final. So that was really good for us. And the season after that, at the end of the season, I felt like I needed some changes. I maybe too long here at Fehervar, or I needed to try something new. And I've never been as an import on any team. Besides, I was in the USHL, but that was junior. That's not pro, so that I wouldn't count that. So I was thinking that I wanted to prove myself. I can be a leader player or a better player on some other team, not just in my hometown. So that was the main thing. And then obviously on the off season, agents are doing their job and then try to find a team where it's the best for you. And then SBG Energy came across around June after the World Championship, and then they were really much interested. And I had the conversation with Jason Jasper, who's coaching now Boostertal. So he after the talk, I knew I'm gonna be in good hands in SBG. So I'm really lucky I actually took that step, because I wasn't just developing as a player. I think I developed as a person, that you're a little bit away from your family. Me and my wife went there only. I can say that I grow as a person on the last season also.
You mentioned an interesting point that not a lot of hockey players are getting to experience it, but being an import player in another league, what changes when you're not a domestic player, when you are regarded as an import, when everybody says, well, why is he taking up an import spot? What's the main difference?
I would say you never feel as comfortable as a home guy. As a home player, I would say, like, we saw that numerous times in our club or even in the ISHL, that if you don't perform, they can let you go in a month or in a couple of weeks, because you need to adapt as a and you can't blame the clubs, because that they want to be successful. That's where they're coming the money part, that If you bet on the wrong horse, you maybe want to change the horse, and then maybe there's a little bit bigger pressure at the beginning as an import player, and that was the main part. But I could say that I was able to jump that, because we made it to the finals there also. Unfortunately, we couldn't win against Sudet Juske, but that's the other story. But yeah, like I said, I think we had a great group of guys there too. And then just to experience how Danish people love hockey also. And it was a great year. And it was even better with the World Championship at the end of the season.
I'll get to the experience of the Danish league in a bit, and I just get the feeling that we're never going to run out of topics if we continue on this trajectory. I'll try to keep it within an hour, promise. But having that understanding of being an import player in another league, did it change your approach with new imports that are now in favor? There are the Josh Atkinson's of this world, the Tim Campbell's, the import players that have been there before that you knew, but now with new incoming import players, did it change anything how you dealt with them, knowing that you just have been an import yourself?
I was always like, I don't think it changed, because even before I went to Denmark, I was, for example, I was teaching a Canadian guy how to drive a stick car, like a manual car and stuff like that. So I was always helping those guys to fit in and try to make it feel as comfortable as possible, because this is going to be their home for the next 8 to 9 months. And if you or your wife or the family is not happy, obviously the player can't perform. So I think it's really important that outside of the rig you feel appreciated. And here in Feyenoord, they do a great job. Like as you roll in day in, you got your car, you got your apartment. So I would love to be an import in Feyenoord. It hasn't changed, because I was always like that. And then obviously when I was younger, it made some of the teammates made it to my duty to help the imports a little bit, show them where the best grocery stores or where to go to eat and some things like that. So I was always like that.
It's interesting that you mentioned that you want to be an import player in Feyenoord too, because I had the good fortune of talking to Mike Uzas many, many times, and he loved his time in Székes Feyenoord, and he said one of the best places for an import player indeed. So that's why you're probably attracting that much North American high quality talent, and it's really shown on the ice too. But when we get back to Denmark and your experience there, you already told us that people love their hockey in Denmark. But what's maybe a fact, a thing about the Danish league that a Central European hockey fan wouldn't know?
Well, it's first of all, it's a smaller league than the ICHL because there is only 9 teams that competed for that 8 spot. So you would think that where's the competition in that? But there is a competition indeed because these teams have their rivals, and that obviously I played for Esbjerg, so Esbjerg had like 2-3 teams like Herning and Odense that like an hour away. So that means that it's easier to get to the fans bus to the away league. So some of those games were so intense in hockey and also in the fan standpoint that made me love the league. And I found that all the Danish players who are in their hometown team, they want to succeed for their team as much as I do to mine, to Fejervar. So that was a common mindset in that. But all in all, I think that Danish people love sports and they like to go to their handball games, to their soccer games, and also hockey games. So I think that's one of the reasons that I think it's a good league, and they are developing young talents. Obviously, some of the young talents going to Sweden because they are so close to each other, but they have a good development program also in the Metal League, and because Rodovre has a lot of young guys that plays on that league.
If we just look at the national team level, Denmark has been part of the A pool for many, many years now. And I'm as an Austrian, you as an Hungarian were probably watching that with a little bit of envy because they've just been that good in keeping or being part of the A pool time and time again. What's the uniquest or maybe the most Danish thing that you did when you were in Esbjerg?
Obviously, like, food is a big stuff when you go away.
Just wanted to say eating a lot of fish or Danish, yes. Danish sweets.
Well, yeah, I like comparing the prices to Hungary to Denmark, you can't even compare because like it's so high priced over there. But I would say I eat a lot of fish more than I do in Hungary, and I don't know. This is the thing. Even if you go to a Lidl or a Hofer, they don't really have like wines or like home wines, and that was. That was one thing that was strange, that they're more like a beer country, I would say. And I don't know, man. There are some weird fish that I haven't tried. I'll be honest with you, but honestly, I loved it. And then we, like, this is the thing that I was talking about, like experiencing another culture, how they do, how the life is so calm compared to Hungary. They have this word that's called hygge, which is like the kind of like the lifestyle or how they live and how they approach life.
It is indeed an interesting place, and you of course again enjoyed sportive success, and I refrain from adding salt to your wound, but a couple of years ago you came also close in the finals against Salzburg, and I'm still adamant if 3 pucks just go the other way, it's not a sweep. And we're probably looking at game 6, game 7 in the series. Some of the games were incredibly close, and I'm always looking back on finals game number 3 that went to second overtime, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So it was really close, and you got a first taste of how it feels to get so close but not taking that last step. Same thing happened last year in Denmark with another loss in the finals. What can you individually and from those teams take away to trying to get over the hump this year or next year? What are the takeaways that you yourself had from those experiences?
Well, That season when we went to the final, first of all, it was a new thing that we go to the semifinals because the first time in franchise history we did that. So it was an amazing run, and then just how we swept Pustertal, and then we move on to Villach, and that Villach had a great team also, and then we managed to go game six, and I won that. Just the whole run was amazing, and it went by so fast that you could enjoy it, obviously, but like looking back at it now, that you don't remember the pains or the injuries that you had. You just remember how good of a run it was. And then obviously it wasn't the first time we met Salzburg in the playoffs, and they always have a really competitive and strong team. And like you said, in playoffs, so all in all, it might look like, and it was a swept in games, but I felt like all the games were really close, and then it wasn't like a blown out of any of the games. It was a true final, and then at that season, I think the two strongest team met each other, so it was a great matchup. I was enjoying every second of it, even the away games, the home games, because here's the thing about fans, that Hungarian fans, we have Hungarian fans everywhere we go in Austria, because there are so many people working in Austria that maybe 90% of the hotels that we stay in, the staff mostly Hungarian, and then it's just so nice to have all those fans coming to our games. And so obviously back and forth, the Salzburg fans and the Hungarian fans, the Feyenoord fans were chanting, and I just remember the goosebumps on me, and the game two at home, or that those are the experience and that you take away with you after your career.
I'll get to Salzburg, who are now champions three times in a row, at the very end of our conversation. But I want to get to two or three people that really shaped this Feyenoord organization as it stands right now. And it coincides with your return. You've known David Kish for a very long time, but when you got back, it was your first time too that within club hockey you had a Hungarian head coach. How did you see, how did you follow his ascension to the very top of the organization, and how is it to be playing on a team where he's the head coach?
Well, I think David was also like a part of a development program in Feyenoord, because he started, after he ended his hockey career, he started right away with us when we were U20s. So he was an assistant coach there, got a lot of experience from or feedbacks from Tyler Dietrich. It's funny enough, now switching spots, now he's the head coach and Tyler Dietrich is the assistant coach. Anyway, yes, so after that, a couple of seasons, he managed to get the head coach position as a U18 coach, and then went to U20 a couple of years ago, after that season, and then the farm team, who played in the Erste Liga, the Hungarian first league. And a couple of years ago, he came to us as an assistant coach. So all these years, he was able to develop himself as a coach, and I think he did a great job. And I think that him getting the assistant coach job here a couple of years ago at the big team was also helping him a lot, because he was coaching under really good coaches that were head coaches, and then could take notes from them what to do right and what's not to do right. And then with all those experience, he formed his coaching philosophy, and I think that's why it makes him successful. And by saying that, it also helps that he knows the team, half of the team or 60% of the team, since we were 17, 16 years old. So then those are the trust those are the trusts, I would say, that you can't really get it anywhere else. And as a Hungarian, obviously, I'm really happy that we have a Hungarian coach, and I hope it's going to stay for a very long time.
You know, country is very much the same. We've haven't had an Austrian head coach on an Austrian team for a very long time. I think it took 15, 16 years to eventually get a full-time head coach again. Same with Haido Fever, AV19, but under David Kish, the team has never looked back. What's the one thing that you cherish the most about him that maybe makes it easier to work with him as a head coach than it was with other head coaches?
Well, first of all, I think the language barrier. Obviously, I can say a lot of things in English, and I'm working on my English all the time. But it's, you know, the best that if it's not the same as talking to your mother language. It's you can rephrase yourself, or you can say things a little bit in another dimension like you would in English, where you simplify it a little bit. So that helps a lot, and then I think that he got to work with Tyler Dietrich again. They were a really good combo back in the day, 10 years ago, I think it was, that they worked together. So that's also a good thing. But answering your question, I think it is just good for Hungarian hockey in the long term that we got coaches like that, that at some point we can look at 2-3 even more coaches that can take the Hungarian national team head coach job. Right now we actually have the first main Hungarian coach also in the national team, Gergely Maron Majoros. So we are developing on that too, and I think those look maybe baby steps, but it's for Hungarian hockey, I think it's a huge part of success. And I hope that the coaches, the younger coaches, can even have a motivation to see, I can be even a pro coach in a Hungarian pro hockey.
I'm never going to get the name of your national team head coach right. I'll still try Gergely Maros.
That's perfect.
Okay, not too bad. So that is indeed an interesting development. But and also seeing that Tyler Dietrich, David Kish stays on as an assistant coach for the Hungarian national team too. But Tyler Dietrich, and I have to back this up a little bit. Many years ago, someone told me, watch out for this Tyler Dietrich guy. He'll really help shape the Fehava organization. He's one of the smartest hockey minds in the league that no one really knows about. And I've tried to follow his trajectory a little bit. He's so experienced, and there's not a person who can say a single bad thing about him. How much of his fingerprints, or how many of his fingerprints, are on this Fehava team and how it's been shaped?
Well, so Tyler came to the organization, I think, 2014 season, or maybe even before that, one or two seasons. Anyway, first he was the U20 coach, like I said, in the Austrian U20 league for Fehérvár, and then I was part of that team, and then I remember this was the first season with him and David on the coaching staff. We felt like we were treated like pros. We were having video meetings and we were having system meetings and stuff like that. So I think that was a really big part of that generation. And that's why a lot of guys still play that generation in Erste Liga or somewhere else. And obviously you said he left his fingerprints on the team for that a couple of years. And then he got an opportunity to go and work for Hockey Canada. So that, I don't think that needs explanation.
Which you never turned down.
Yes. And then coming back to where he started, it's also a full circle life. And like you said, I think we have, and I don't forget to mention our goalie coach, Sammy. He is also a huge addition to our team. And with all those guys, I feel like they're, even if you see them working or they're working on their laptop, you can see that there's also chemistry between the coaches, and it shows on the ice.
Got three more questions, and hopefully we're going to stay within the hour. But just looking at the Hungarian national team last year, and you were in that iconic C for a captain on your chest. How was that?
It's always a proud moment. Like, yeah, I, obviously, I was growing up watching the national team making the first debut in the April in 2009 where was this? In Zurich. And then watching, being part of the second promotion in Krakow, and just having those steps and now wearing that C is obviously means a lot to me, more than one than any other. Like I would say, the smaller countries, it is. I feel like you would be more proud, even Austrians too. I think maybe an Austrian is more proud to be wear the C of the national team players than any other countries, and just to have that, that having that generation that I grew up with from starting in 92 until like 98, we are the core group of guys that we had so many experience together, good and bad, and now able to have that. See, obviously it means a lot. But that being said, that room contains a lot of leaders also. So it for me, it's never about the ladder, and it doesn't change my game or my approach to the locker room if you have a ladder or not. And there is at least three or four guys who can have that ladder. And that's what made us successful in the World Championship in Bolzano.
It just shows how deep team Hungary is in Hungarian hockey. And you haven't been around for more than a decade now on the pro level and haven't seen it all. What's the status quo of Hungarian hockey? Where would you say the level of play is right now? How satisfied are you with where hockey in Hungary is right now?
Well, right now, this is the first time we actually made it back right away to the April. So that was a big step, a historic step for us. And we were so close to stay to the April two times, one against Austria.
I know.
You probably watched that game.
I might have, yeah. But yes. I have no rooting interest. I always, and it might sound extremely cliche, but hockey is so great because more often than not, the better team indeed wins. Now, it's a different proposition at the World Championships where you usually have that one last game that might just be the decider. But yeah, watch the game and you're just feeling bad because you know so many players from covering them, and you just know, well, there's joy on one side of the rink and there's this brutal negative set of negative emotions on the other end happening, just like when it's about a championship, you know. Yes. The feeling, unfortunately, but I'll give you the stage.
Yes, exactly. But that's what makes hockey fun, that you're having those bad moments and then a couple of years later you're gonna appreciate the better ones much, much better, like the positive experiences. And so yeah, I can't remember what was the question.
Status quo of Hungarian hockey.
Oh yes. So so Hungarian hockey right now, we are back in the April, both men and women, first time ever that happened, that in the same year we had the both national teams on the April. And right now that we would like to take the next step. The next step could be stay into the A pool. Obviously, it can take one season or it can take a couple of seasons. But the main goal is that we stay in the A pool for one or two seasons, because it would help Hungarian hockey a lot. And then I don't know how it works in Austria, but in Hungary, the national team performance kind of determines the whole, how people who don't usually follow hockey, how they talk about Hungarian hockey. That if the national team does good, then Hungarian hockey is good, including all the clubs, all the Erste Liga, everyone. And if the national team doesn't do good, then people try to forget them. So obviously that's a big pressure on our shoulder, but the main goal, I think, as a team, that we finally stay into the April after one season.
Austria, unfortunately, works a little different. I'll give you a lecture on how this works and why we're weird in those terms when we bump into each other next time around. I want to finish this out with something that has to do with your finals experience against Salzburg, as they've gone on to win two more championships. They're the gold standard in the league, and even though they're not right at the top with four fewer games that they've played so far and the 12 point that they could still make, put them right into the mix with you, with Bolzano. And I've said it before, until proven otherwise, Salzburg is the team to beat. And if one has seen their play in Champions Hockey League and how they just beat Färjestad of all teams convincingly, what's it going to take to take Salzburg to the brink, to take Salzburg and give them a series, to maybe dethrone Salzburg? And I know half of the regular season still has to be played. Two more playoff rounds, and everybody assumes that Salzburg gets to the finals. And I know a lot of Fever fans are hoping that the team makes it too. What's it going to take to beat Salzburg?
Well, first of all, you don't know how the regular season ends. So if, let's say, we are in the top two teams, the only time we can see each other is in the finals. So I think the regular season position is a key factor for every team. First of all, it's because of the picks. And honestly, I love the picking systems because I think it's great for fans and for entertainment to have that picking system. But you don't know where you're going to end up matching up. Honestly, it feels like we're always matching up with Salzburg somehow. It's either in the quarterfinals or in the finals somewhere. But I think the last season they hired the new coach. No, if I'm correct. And after that, I think they were developing a lot also, but they were always have these principles that they follow and that have high standards on the ice. At least that's how I felt when we played them. And it comes down to the tiny details that if you do those right, you're able to beat any team in the league. And then, of course, in the CHL, they're doing great, and that's also good for the league that we the ICHL representing, the Salzburg representing the ICHL. So, honestly, I'm going to answer this question when we come to that we play in the final.
Just give you one thing. I had a look at the regular season and the schedule as it stands right now. Last game of the regular season, we'll have Fehava hosting Salzburg, and I just hope that it's going to be for the number one seed. But again, a lot of hockey still has to be played. You have to get back onto the ice. Really looking forward to seeing you again, wishing you a speedy recovery. And first and foremost, thank you so much for doing this. Tremendously enjoyed talking hockey with you. Hope it's not going to be the last time that we do have the good fortune of doing this.
Thanks for having me, and I'm really looking forward for next meeting also, and you're more than welcome in Fireworks to see you anyway.
Win today, Hockey. Oh God.
Kurz durchatmen bei diesem Wahnsinn, und das ging rasend schnell. Der Traum vom Finale ist erfüllt.
Mittendrin statt nur dabei.
Fans, stimmungsvoll und hoffnungsfroh.
Nice move, another